Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
But during this Thursday's devotional time, as we were recording it, while Rod and I were playing, I really felt like the Holy Spirit actually just whispered in my ear this phrase, okay? And I wanted to share it with you today. You can choose what you're going to be overwhelmed with. You can be overwhelmed with fear, or you can be overwhelmed with me. I felt like the Lord was whispering that into my ear. And I thought that was a powerful statement. You can choose what you're going to be overwhelmed with. And so, to be honest, I've had a lot of phone conversations with folks, and some are really scared. Some people are absolutely have tried to convince themselves from listening to things that they're going to die from this virus. Now, I just want to remind you, okay, statistically speaking, still the chance of that happening is very, very low, especially for young and healthy people. Now, I know people are saying, look, I read online that a healthy person, died from this and I'm young and healthy, so that's going to happen to me. Now, I just remind you, just to bring some perspective and logic to everybody. The reason that that's newsworthy, which we had a horrible thing happen today in Illinois, or yesterday in Illinois, when the governor announced that an infant had passed away. And that's a horrible thing, and we our hearts go out and our prayers go out to those families, and our heart breaks for that. And it is horrible, and it is a tragedy, and it is awful. But I want you to know the reason it's newsworthy, it's out of the ordinary. And I've sat with many folks who've gotten rough medical news. I've sat with young, healthy people who've been stricken with cancer, who've had brain tumors, who've had the regular flu, who've had meningitis, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, I'm not saying this to say not to take this seriously, because yes, we are to take this seriously. And especially we as the church and as people who are called to watch out for those who are vulnerable, this is our opportunity to express love to them, to be careful and to watch out. But what I'm saying is you don't have to live in fear, not when you know Jesus. And I've said this for 3 weeks now. And so today I want to discuss how we get fear and how we can get rid of fear, what we're supposed to do with that, okay? And we can have peace instead of fear. And it all comes down to voices. And there are a lot of voices going on right now with this COVID-19 thing going on. I want you to know that I believe that Satan has caused so many people to be stricken and panicked with fear. What a strategy. Because not only does he give us fear, but then he isolates us from one another. He isolates us from one another. Now, with this, this is a heck of a strategy, okay? And he tries now to keep us from worshiping. And so as I thought about someone asks, is there something on my neck? This is my cord that's on my neck. That's if you're wondering what that is. See, these, it's good to talk back and forth, but some of this is interesting. So, Tim and Linda, I want to say hey to you guys as well. As I thought about where we are as a church right now, we can't gather together in church. And this isn't the only time that that's happened in Scripture. If we look at Psalm 42, so if you have a Bible or a Bible app or something, why don't you open Psalm 42? And there's some interesting things here. Some background of Psalm 42 before you go to that slide yet. Although this is not directly attributed to David, many, like Charles Spurgeon, believe that David wrote this Psalm. And those of you who have certain translations of Scripture, it says at the beginning, after Psalm 42, it says, a maskil for the sons of Korah. Now, what this means is it's a contemplation or an instructive song about or for the sons of Korah, the descendants of Korah. And who is Korah? Well, we have to go all the way back to number 16 to find out about who this Korah character is. He was a person who led a rebellion of 250 people against Moses. And let me sum up his rebellion. He basically said, we're tired of God's way of doing things. Does that sound familiar? He said, we're tired of God's way of doing things. And I want you to know, it didn't work out well for Korah and for the 250 people who rebelled. They were actually wiped out. And I want you to know that it doesn't work out well for us when we reject God's way of doing things. And so now here are these sons of Korah, these descendants of Korah, who experience judgment and hardship because of others' actions. And now they're paying the price. See, fast forward now to David. David most likely wrote this psalm while he was running away from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him and he was hiding in caves. Or perhaps he wrote this when his third son, Absalom, had rebelled against him. Interesting. You know, this psalm about the sons of Korah who were steeped in rebellion and Absalom rebelled against David. And it's kind of like Korah was Absalom's rebellion. He sat outside of the city gate wanting to be king. And as people would come inside to the city, as they would come into the city, Absalom would sit there. And Absalom would say to them, you know what? Where are you going in? What, you're going for judgment? Why don't you tell me what your problem is? You know what? If I was king, I'd be very favorable for you. You know, and he would whisper lies and he would put his spin on things. And it ended up leading to this massive rebellion where David had to flee. And so now David is fleeing and he wants to go and to worship in the temple, but he's kept afar away. Now that sounds familiar. He wants to go to the temple. I want you to know, last night I dreamt of having church together. And then I had another weird dream last night. I don't know what, I must have eaten something weird last night, but I had another odd dream that a lot of our folks that normally worship together, that we were all traveling and we were staying at a house and we were all getting ready to do worship, but we had to journey together. And I thought that was kind of profound because we are on a journey together. You and I, your households and mine as well. And we can't necessarily worship together at the moment in this place, but we are worshiping in the Spirit. And so as David sits outside wanting and wishing that he could go to church, he writes this powerful, powerful psalm. It was the raw chicken. We had chicken last night and someone saying that. He reads this. So now, with that in mind, let's read Psalm 42, the first four verses. Thinking about David who's sitting outside wondering how can he can go. He says, as a deer pants for the flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Him? Okay, he's basically saying, I want to go to church, and I can't. And then he says in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me continually, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and with songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. See, David is away from Jerusalem and he's longing. He's like, I want to go to church and I know I miss you all. I really, really do. And these times it's hard. And so David's saying, look, that my tear ducts, I'm tearing. Look at this. He says, my tears have been my food at day and night. And while they say to me continually, how many of you all, your tear ducts talk? Does anybody have a tear duct that talks? His tear ducts were saying something to him. And I believe this, although we may not have an audible voice, that our emotions talk to us. Has anybody had their emotions talk to them? Yes, and in this day and age, I want you to know, my church family, emotions are talking to you. And I want you to ask this question, what are your tears saying to you? Let me be honest with you. Every time that I have a cough right now, the first thing that goes through my mind is this thought, oh, is it corona? And I'm not talking about the beverage, I'm talking about the virus. I know people, and I know people. What? My 10 people here decided to laugh. 9 people here, yeah. I know that I know people who are talking themselves. I know people who are afraid to cough or sneeze or do anything in public because they're immediately going to say, oh, they've got it. They've got the virus. People, it's messing with our minds and people are getting paranoid. So I got three quick points for you today from Psalm 42. Number one is this. Identify whose voice is speaking. Who is speaking through your tears or your fears? My church family, I want you to consider this. You see, David says something powerful here. His tears were talking to him. His tears were declaring some things. His tears, his emotions were messing with him. And while we're separated and while we're under this hardship, and it's difficult, our emotions try to mess with us. David recognized that his emotions were talking to him or that something was using his emotions. Now, in 2008, there was a presidential election, and John McCain ran for president. And there was a quote that went rampant in the fall prior to the election. And it actually had an impact on the election because it had to do with the trustworthiness of the candidates and who they were running with. And it said, here was the quote. It said, I can see Russia from my house. Now, many people attribute this quote to John McCain's running mate, Sarah Palin. Okay? And so this became this thing where people thought, oh, this is an idiotic thing. The problem is most people, when they were polled, they said that it was Sarah Palin who made that quote. But it was not Sarah Palin who said that. In fact, it was Tina Fey, a Saturday Night Live comedian who was doing their satire of the female governor of Alaska, castigating her as a dimwit. And this stuck. And I want you to know that there are voices that are coming out now. Whatever or not you think of the politicians is immaterial. My point is this, is that there are things that Satan is trying to get you to think in these times. He's wanting to take things and he's wanting to twist them and turn them. He wants you to listen and he wants to spin anything that you hear. Now, I want you to identify who's speaking to you in the midst of your emotions. Now, I'm not calling the news wrong. I'm saying that Satan wants to whisper his spin on what we hear. The enemy tries to use your tears and your fears, and I want to shine a spotlight on how Satan wants to mess with you in this time. You see, the news says, I read a story that a healthy 50-year-old gets this and Satan whispers, well, Pastor Michael, you're 50, it's gonna happen to you. Even though statistically speaking it's small, and all of a sudden I begin to possess fear. It happens to us all the time. I'm telling you what, I was reading through last night and I was sitting there, I couldn't sleep about 2:30 in the morning and I got up and I was like, well, let me just get an update. What's going on? I checked a couple news feeds and all of a sudden I read a story and as I was reading this news thing, I felt fear grip me. It just came upon me and it was like, oh my heavens, oh my heaven. It was a rough account. It was a rough, and it's legitimate. But all of a sudden I had to talk to myself. Where am I getting this fear from? And I realized that Satan was trying to whisper in my ear and say, you can let go of peace and you need to panic. Pastor, are you trying to make light of the seriousness of this illness? No, I am not. If that were so, we'd be in church together right now. I'm saying that as Christians, we should not be ruled by this. Because God is sovereign, as we've spoken for the past several weeks. Now let's consider our enemy. Let's consider our enemy. In John 8:48, we find out where these lies come from. And talks about the author of lies. It says in John 8:44, it says about Satan. It says, he was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Where does all this fear, where does all this come from? It comes from the father of lies. Once again, we get so little fact and so much opinion in our news today, it is hard to sort it all out. And my belief is that here in our culture is I believe the adversary loves to get us worked up and forget who we are in Christ. I truly believe that, my church family. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 gives us some powerful, and we've talked about this a little bit. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. That's what happens when we get all worked up about the situations going on. When pestilence hits, we think that God doesn't care about us. We think that God is far away, and we forget that we can cast our anxiety upon Him. That's where our anxiety, you shouldn't be posting it on Facebook. You should be giving it to God. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Verse 9 tells us, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Gang, this is the entire world is dealing with this. And so some things that we should understand. Number one, Satan only devours those who allow him. And I want you to know that he wants to rob you of your peace. He wants to distract you from your prayer. And he wants to hinder you in your purpose. That's what he's using this time and event against the church. He wants the church. He wants Christians not to have peace. He wants us to be so worked up spreading the news of terror and destruction and doom that we don't pray. And he wants to give us a message of fear rather than the message of the gospel. I believe it was A.W. Tozer who said that the world in the times of fear, the world needs a fearless church. Folks, it is a time of fear. It is a time where there is great fear. And it is time for the church to be fearless. Now, that's not making light of the situation. That's saying that, number one, God is greater. And number two, we do not have to be ruled by fear. We can see David walk this very thing out for us in the next few verses. Verse 5 of Psalm 42. He says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Well, let me tell you why he's downcast. Number one, he's downcast because he has just had a rebellion. He's outside of Jerusalem. His third son just betrayed him. That's why he's downcast. But he asks the question, why really are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? And then look how he speaks to himself. Ready? Come on, everybody, let's read that second part of verse 5 together. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. No, that wasn't good enough. I want you to say it at home. I want you to repeat this with me at home. Ready? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. I hope the dog looked at you and said, what are you doing? My soul can hope in God. He's writing this while he's in hiding. He's writing this while he is in the midst of tears and fears. Now, he wouldn't ask the question about why am I in turmoil unless he was in turmoil. So that means, look, there's empathy. Look, these are times I will absolutely grant to everybody. These are hard times. These are difficult times. The economy's in big trouble. We've got a serious health thing. But God is still greater. And so we don't have to be cast down. Because God has our eternity. If your emotions have been in turmoil, my church family, I want you to know that's understandable. But I want to ask you this next question. Whose voice have you been listening to? Remember God, because He is remembering in you. He goes on, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and from Hermon and from Mount Mizar. So this is my second point for us here today, is remember the voice of truth. Remember the voice of truth. Because my church family, God's word sustains us through the midst of tribulation. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. But now, thus saith the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Man, that makes me feel good. No matter what's going on around me, I know that I'm His. I know that I'm His. Whether I manage to avoid COVID-19 or I contract it, I'm God's. I am God's, and God is greater. No matter what happens, God is greater. When you pass through the waters, it doesn't say that you're never going to pass through. It says when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Church, we've forgotten that. That's our message, is we're not alone. We're not just relying on God. Yes, we're going to pray for the medical professionals. Yes, we're going to pray for our healthcare workers. Yes, we're going to do everything to be wise, to be loving and express love to those who are vulnerable in this time. And while we're doing all of that, our foundation is that we're not alone and that we are God's and He knows us by name. He tells us, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God's not going to leave us, but rather He's going to use us in the midst. And so my third point for us and my final point for us here today is this. Consider whose voice you will echo. Okay? I want to tell you, there's a lot of voices going around right now. You got to think of who's talking to you. Okay? You need to understand that. I want you also to understand that you need to remember the voice of truth, and then you need to choose which voice you're going to echo. And to this, I really want you to be careful. Because what I have observed is far too many Christians who can talk about the latest stuff going on with COVID-19 and a lot of too many Christians who are not talking about the love of God in the midst of this. When you look at your stuff and you realize you're posting everything about, oh, I'm just reposting. Trust me. Look, gang. There are over 23 major news companies. There are literally thousands and thousands of smaller ones. There are podcasts. There are social media companies. They have all done a really good job of presenting their slant and their perspective of the times of today. Do you know what is missing? God's perspective. That's what's missing in all of this. Again, as Tozer said, what does a fearful world need? It needs a fearless church. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Brothers and sisters, remember that many of us spend far more time echoing the news of the day rather than the message of hope Christ has entrusted to us. You are His ambassador. You are His ambassador. And so in the midst of panic, in the midst of people saying, what is going on? I want you to know, they need to know that God loves them and God has a plan for their eternal salvation. That's what I want you to understand today, is you have a mission. Your mission is not to just get through COVID-19. Your mission is that God will use you in the midst. Romans 1:16, Paul lets us know this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And many of us we literally are worshiping COVID-19. And I'm telling you, pull that idol down. Quit worshiping COVID-19. Worship the Lord God Almighty, because He's greater. All right? There are very few Christians right now presenting the gospel in these times. And because Satan loves to hijack us into spreading doom and gloom, the same hyper-sensationalized media instead of the powerful message of God's love. And what I have observed are people who don't know God are panicked because their mortality has just been revealed to them yet again. People who don't know the Lord are in serious crisis right now. We have been called not to throw gasoline onto that fire, but to bring them the message of Jesus Christ. Right now, my church family, people all around us are ripe to hear of God's love. And so my challenge for us is this, as we get ready to wrap up our time here. I'm speaking to you now in your households. Thank you for welcoming us in. Husbands, fathers, mothers, heads of your household, whoever you are in the heads of your, the head of your household, if you're here today, I want you to take your place, to stand up and to declare that you are not going to be a slave to fear. That you are not going to reject the peace that God offers, but rather you're going to embrace God's wisdom. And yes, God's wisdom means that we take the counsel of people around us, but we hold it up and we are empowered with that counsel through the love of God. Don't forget that the greatest tool through this is not an earthly tool. Paul says, look, the weapons that we war with, they're not of this world. Okay, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And why I want us to war with our spiritual weapons, and perhaps the greatest one, is the gospel of hope. So, take your place, children of God. Understand this, there's a difference. There is a difference in how we will react and respond, and it is time to share of God's love and God's hope. You have been given the message of hope. So let's embrace God's wisdom and take the message of hope to a fearful people. It is sweet to trust in Jesus in times like this, my church family. It is sweet to trust in Jesus. And there's a reason that we can do that, because it's not misplaced trust. It's a good thing. We can trust in Him because He has proved Himself He has proved Himself back in the Old Testament through Moses and to Moses. He has proven Himself to so. It is sweet to trust in Jesus in times like this. And so we're going to conclude our time here. We're going to sing that hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Then we're going to pray, and I think our band has one more song for us after that. So let's sing together, and then we'll pray. Ready, gang? "'Tis So Sweet."
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a moderate. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.